The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by Draw Your Picture, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others and see what I can do for you over at drawyoupicture.com. Also by our patrons like John Yan, Johnny Steinklobber, and Julie Bramstedt, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus story stickers and ad-free listening and more. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hi, I'm James. And hi, I'm James. No, I'm James. Anyway, you're listening to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 422, brought to you the week of August 25th, 2022. I am your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and the other day my son was in the bathroom doing his schoolwork. Guess what he was working on?
I don't know.
Poo calculus.
What?
Get it?
No.
That's because it wasn't funny. That's why. It's a bathroom joke.
Poo calculus.
Pre-calculus.
Oh, poo calculus. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe I should have said pre-crapulous. See,
right.
I should have. That's what I should have gone
That's
with.
All right. I heard a joke today.
Yeah.
What do you call it when a cow jumps over an electric fence, but only makes it part way? And the answer was utter destruction.
Okay.
But
utter destruction.
The problem was I was a butt because I thought I knew better. And I knew utter was going to be in the joke's punchline. So I said, I don't know, but it's going to be utterly devastating. And I stole her punchline.
Oh, it was.
Basically, because it was just, you know, nickels and dimes between the two answers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of talked to myself later. I'm like, you can't ruin other people's jokes, James. You can't do it.
That was high school James coming out, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. It was bad James. It was eye rolling James. And I didn't apologize because you can't, you know, apologize for something like that. You just have to never do it again. And,
right.
I'm like, I wouldn't like that done to me. So, you know, I'm not going to do it to other people. But poo calculus was bad.
That was awful.
I don't even know where you're getting your jokes at, but you know.
That was from real life. Yeah, in my head, I thought it would be a lot funnier. And
I like it suddenly that you thought it up and it was based on real life. So
it's a true story.
It's a true
I always
story.
Think stuff, you know, it comes from real life is better than recycling other people's jokes. But you know, they call a comedian who uses all of his own stuff.
I don't know.
Y'all.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't know if they say that or
I don't
not.
Either. We always open with a story, and Benjamin Culbertson sent us today's. It's called Customer Disservice. And it really hits home with me now that I work in the customer service industry. Hey, James and John, it's Ben from Milton, Florida. About a year ago, I got a job at a local coffee shop and I love it. But alas, sometimes we get some weirdos coming in. He's using weirdos. I would say buttheads, but
weirdos.
This took place a couple of weeks ago in a very, very busy Saturday afternoon. So a lady and her daughter come in and they right away skip a couple of people in line. Which is about five or six people. Yeah. But they didn't seem to make a fuss about it. So I didn't say anything. Several moments later, I have her at the register asking me, asking, what can I get for her? I want a large cappuccino, she said in a snobby tone. How do you order coffee in a snobby tone? Is there really a need for that? Is there a need for that? My job is customer service. So I responded with a smile. All righty, large cappuccino. What else for you? And I grabbed a large hot cup because cappuccinos, from what I know, are the lattes with a lot of foam. So she looked at the cup in disgust and said, no, no, no. I want it iced, silly.
Fuck, I should have read your mind.
Yeah, but there's a problem. There's a problem on top of the buttness is since a cappuccino has so much foam, it has to be hot. You have to steam the milk to get the foam. And I kindly tried to explain this to her. Then afterwards, she says, you're lying. I have gotten iced cappuccino from here before. And her daughter is looking extremely embarrassed at this point. I look over at my shift leader. We'll call him Nick. And he sees I'm in a pickle, and he kindly takes over. So that's really good, actually. That's very nice. After a couple of minutes, a long line is formed behind the difficult lady. And so Nick just says, okay, we'll make you an iced cappuccino, but I'm warning you, it probably won't taste good. And she says, yes, it will, because I get it here all the time. And since it was a long line, Nick held the register since he was more experienced at getting through long lines fast. So it fell to me to make her iced cappuccino. Which is impossible, according to this guy.
Iced, quote unquote.
Yeah. I did so with much joy. And when she took a sip, it makes me smirk to this day, the look on her face. When you put ice in a hot drink, the ice melts. So what she got was a lukewarm espresso-flavored milk water. You made this wrong! I want another one made right! And so I switched off with Nick, and what happened is what you would expect. I made this one wrong. You made this one wrong as well. Where's your manager? So I moped to the back of the busy store and grabbed my manager, who was in a small meeting with the owner. We'll call the manager Jeff. How can I help you, ma'am? He says politely. Nobody can make my iced cappuccino correctly. He apologized and remakes it himself. And what do you think happened for the third time? That's right. It was nasty again. After a bit of discussion, my manager ended up thinking it through and said, I think what you're describing is called an iced Americano, not a cappuccino. In total, it was probably 45 minutes before we came to this conclusion. Cow. Me and my coworkers had a good laugh over it, and we still do now and then. If you're going to be a butthead, at least be sure you know what the heck you're asking for. Benjamin Culbertson. Goodness gracious. He was so nice. But that was definitely an LBB.
One of the many tools of the devil.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. That's one of the benefits of my job is I don't work with the customers. I work in the back of Chick-fil-A. Yes. And I don't deal with the customers directly. So in my mind, everybody's nice and peaceful, and they're ordering their chicken with smiles in their faces and Jesus in their hearts.
And everybody leaves happy.
Everybody's
so happy. So happy.
Nobody's complaining, you know. All I know is this. If you can't order chicken at Chick-fil-A without getting upset, then you're just a problem. Because those people will bend over backwards trying to make whatever they did wrong right, if they do anything wrong in the first place. They will literally bend over backwards. And so the problem's on your side.
They will chase you down if you forget your fries.
Yes. They will follow you onto the highway.
And on fast running, too.
Very fast. Very fast.
And those fries will still be hot. Perfect amount of salt.
That's right. We have a salt dispenser that you push buttons on it, and it dispenses the right amount of salt for how many fries you just made. And I know how to work it, and I know how to refill it, and I know where it hides when it's not obvious where it is. So I've learned a lot of things about salt. So anyway, it's time for us to rewind the week. All right, this is where we take a story from the last 7 days or so and retell it and share it with you guys. And so I swear I've told this one before, but John says I haven't, so I'm going to share
it. I don't recall it. Maybe it happened when I wasn't here, but that was been a long time.
I need to get it off the list. It's been bugging me. All right. So I live in the city in St. Louis, and the city is full of, I'll use Benjamin's word, weirdos. We're used to seeing weird things, but we were at a stoplight and we saw these two people stopped on an off ramp, and they were outside their car looking in a patch of grass. And it's very important that I mention that this patch of grass was just what was growing between the gutter and the street. It was just growing up out of the crack of the asphalt. So it wasn't a patch of grass, really. It was more of a sprig of grass. You know what I'm saying? It just,
yeah.
There, nobody's going to mow the highway. And so
right. It's not even a median. Yeah. It's something.
Yeah. Eventually some car will run over it and it'll die. It was just there. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting what they're doing. And I turn to my son and I says, let's do Sherlock and let's try to figure out and discern what they're doing based on just what we can see. And so we started doing that. I'm like, well, it's obvious that he cares a lot about what's going on here because he's looking through the grass. They've probably lost something. And she doesn't care much because she's on her phone. And it's probably maybe a ring or maybe keys. And maybe that's why they stopped their car. But they must have dropped it and stopped quick because they're not very far away from the patch of grass. And I was really trying to get into it. My son was rolling his eyes. Because everything
he dead, wasn't playing the part of Watson at all.
No, well, then he was, because I think Watson's job is to roll his eyes at
oh,
Sherlock.
Right, yeah.
There so, anyway, so then they switch places, and the woman starts digging through the patch of grass looking, and he goes to the back of the seat of the car and he brings out a bag. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's the bag full of? He's got something in the bag, he's gonna, you know, maybe they lost. Maybe there's a bug in there or something that they want. No, he brings this plastic bag from like Walmart or whatever, and he pulls up the entire sprig of grass with the dirt included, puts it in the bag, takes it, puts it in the back of his trunk, closes the trunk. They get in the car and leave. And my Sherlock brain just melts down because I have no idea what I just witnessed. I can't think of any reason why they would do such a thing. And all I could say was it was a city thing. I don't know if they were trying to get some free grass. Maybe they needed some sprigs for the house.
I got a spot in my yard that's missing a little grass.
Yeah.
Get some highway grass and put it in there.
Maybe there's something I don't know about this particular style of grass that the city uses and it oversprayed and got stuck in the crack there. But I don't know. Maybe he spilled drugs in the grass and it was powder form or something. And so he needed to burn the grass, you know,
I needed at the back, house, man.
I mean, it didn't look like any illicit substance. It looked just like grass, but maybe somebody out there has a story and could like play the retail harp, you know, and tell us what was actually going on there and give me some context because it was definitely up there on the weirdness scale.
Did they look like they might be scientific, or did he look like he might be of, you know,
that would make sense.
A science type.
But I'm telling you, person. There's nothing made sense about this whole thing. That would make sense.
I was looking for herbivore of Spavospharicus.
You know,
I found it.
If they had little traffic cones around the site, you know, and maybe some police tape, you know, caution tape around there. And like they were hunting for something, but I was totally off. Maybe they did lose an earring, you know, in that specific spot. They couldn't find it. And she's probably like, look, we can't sit here all day looking for the dumb thing, whatever the thing is. Just grab
but
the grass and we'll take it home and we'll look
I
for it.
I think I've
then.
Almost located it. Eureka. It is herbivorous, half asparagus, asparagui. I believe I've located this fantastic specimen of a being on this blade of grass.
It's been like a month now, and I just have a feeling that it's still in the back of his trunk. And they're like, we've got to go through it eventually. We got to get this task over with.
So he's still growing back there, except it's deprived of sunshine, and so it's turned all yellow.
I don't know. Maybe they're waiting for it to rot, and whatever they lost will just be still there. I don't know. I just stopped trying to make sense of it. That's the thing. I got to stop thinking about it because that's why I needed to get it off the board here. Because I kind of have a list of weekly rewinds, and people taking grass was one of them. And now I can delete it. It's gone.
Thank you. I think you did that one that you've got highlighted there too already.
Oh, I did?
Okay. Last week.
Okay.
About your coworkers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time to flush that line.
All right. Well, I'm clear. I'm clean. I'm going to have some new adventures now.
Now, yeah. Well, you know, you've got plenty of opportunities working in the Lord's chicken farm.
Yeah.
So maybe. I had some adventures today.
Okay.
Yeah. So, funny stories, kind of, maybe. One of my coworkers, this isn't the story. He said, "Hey, I heard about the backpack last week." And he shared it with the guy that it actually happened to. So JP and his wife listened to the show, and I'm like, "Oh man,
that's cool." My friend Adam from work listened to the show because we talked about him and his fried eyeball. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got people from
the, how's his eye, by the way?
It's fine. I actually asked him yesterday, but he's got people at work listening to the show now. And so now I have
nice
stickers for everybody. So.
Well, welcome coworkers of James. Thanks. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome coworkers of mine too. It's good to have you here.
Tell us what happened.
Well, so this is what happened. So he said, "Hey, I heard about the backpack." And he says, "Yeah, I listened to the first part of your show so I can stay up to date on what's happening around here on campus." He said, "Then I turn it off." So I was like, "Oh, thanks." Yeah. Like, he was just kidding. He's kidding. In fact, he was in here today. He has to do some nebulizer stuff. You know what a nebulizer is?
No.
Okay, so like if you have like breathing difficulties, you can take medicine.
To get nicotine into their bodies.
That's vaping.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of the same thing. This is like vaping, except you're doing it with medicine.
Okay.
And he's got this machine that, you know, turns the air and turns the medicine into like a vapor so he can breathe it in. It's like a breathing thing.
So it is like vaping.
It is. It looks exactly like it. And he's over there. And he's got this big, huge beard. And he's over there. And this thing looks like a pipe. Looks like he's vaping this pipe. But anyways, that's not the story, okay? that was the Higgins effect guy, by the way. He's the one that coined the term the Higgins effect. You know what that is?
No.
It's when you feel a vibration in your pocket and you think it's your phone, but your phone isn't in there.
Oh, yeah, that happens to me a lot.
Yeah, that's what we call the Higgins effect because he did that. So
okay.
But anyways, I'm a full-time employee for the school now. So I've moved over from working for the church, and I work for the school.
Wow.
Big change, all right? So nothing's changed except for the name on my paycheck. But one of the things that has changed, because I just said nothing's changed, but some things have changed, is that I actually have to go get a drug test.
Oh.
Right? So because, you know, all of our school employees have drug tests before they're hired.
Well, your conditional employment is conditional on your drug test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope you do so good.
And I'm an awkward guy. When I get
hope
nervous,
you're not an
I
awkward
talk about,
druggie.
No, I hope not. I don't know what that means. I was in HR though. I was talking because the HR and the business office, they're all in one room. It's not a big department, really. And I was talking because there was a couple other guys in there. I was like, "Oh, man, I hope I pass my drug test and stuff like that," right in front of the HR manager. She says, "You can't say that. Now I'm going to have to have a random drug screening done on you."
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, no. I just got awkward and started rambling after that. Because I'm an idiot, and today I went to go get my drug test.
Okay, what kind of drug test was it?
It's not a written test.
No,
it wasn't written. You have to make a deposit.
Do
for
you
such
do
a thing.
Drugs? Yes or no? No,
yeah.
No. Of course
I thought it might be like, what kind of drug is this? It does that. No, it's nothing like that.
No.
It's nothing like that. You have to make a deposit. And see, I knew this going in because, so, you know, I'm not that much of an idiot. Is what? Yeah, pee in a cup. Yep.
See, that's when I tried out for Amazon, I thought that was what they were going to make us do, but they led us to these clear stations, and I was like, I'm not doing that here. You know, there's a lady right next door. You know, it was oral. They had you suck on a freaking. They had you think of something tasty for 15 seconds,
really?
And then they made you put your spit in a swab, and then it was weird, dude. It was totally different. It was totally demoralizing. It was like a DNA test or something. It was.
You're going to stand in a plastic booth and think about something you really want to eat, and then you're going to swab your mouth.
Then we're going to have you stick your tongue on the wallpaper inside the circle.
Snowsberry.
Snowsberry. Snowsberries taste like snowsberries.
We are the dream makers. Anyways, I had to go get the test today.
Okay.
I went, and I told myself the whole time, I'm not going to say something stupid. And I'm not going to crack dumb jokes.
Right.
And because that's what I do when I'm nervous. And I didn't. I'm proud of myself.
Ah!
I went and did the thing, and it was very awkward because, you know, you're holding a specimen cup with your urine in it.
Yeah.
And you're like, here you go. I just made this for you. And it's awkward and weird, but I didn't make any stupid jokes. And I thought of a few of them. I was like, I'm going to say this, and it's going to be funny to me. And then the nurse was just going to laugh out of pity.
Right.
And then I realized I didn't have to say anything.
You
at all.
Did it. You did it.
I did it.
See, the last time I took one of those, they sent me in with a cup and a marker. And I had to write my name on it. And I also wrote, there's probably pee on this on it.
Don't worry. We're going to throw the marker
on
away.
The label. Yeah. No, I wrote it on the label. I was just like, there's probably pee on this. Just letting you know.
Probably pee on this, just so you know.
Oh, man. I want to thank a couple of patrons. Luke Barnett, he became an annual supporter. And Vanessa Trapnell, thanks for your annual support. We love our patrons, and we desire you to become a patron. If you don't like ads, and who does, you can become a patron for as little as a dollar a month. And if you go annual, you save 10%. And so it's like, why not? You know, who needs another subscription? You say, I say you do. So anyway, if you can, you should. That's all I'm going to say.
And 899 more of you, will probably,
and I can tase John. Oh, I forgot about my tasing a thing. I have a thing about tasing.
He said, man. He said tasing, not teasing.
No, I like tasing. I want to tase somebody. I don't know. I don't know if I could actually do it when it comes down to it, but I want the one that has the prongs that shoot out.
Yeah.
And has the wires connected. Yeah. I want to get it good, man. I want to be facing them head on, and I don't want them to shoot me. That would hurt. So anyway, we got some listener emails. Cameron Suick. Salchek. I'm sorry. He actually pronounced his name for me. Cameron Salchek. He's dealt with that his whole life. Poor guy. Suick. No, it's Salchek. It's Salchek. Okay. Hi, James.
Salchek, please.
He said, I started with the episode COVID knows, thinking the podcast was stand-up comedy. Disappointed.
I'm standing right now.
I'm sitting and trying to be funny, but. He said, I couldn't stop laughing, though. I'm sad, though, that I was listening backward. It got to the point that I wanted to listen from square one, and I'm so glad I did. I've listened from episode one to episode 151. People who are listening backwards, please go back to episode one. If you do not, you will miss out on so much. I love your podcast, and for the sake of the bell, I hope it makes it on the show. We will send in a story soon. Cameron Salchek. So thank you.
Earn that bell.
That's right.
Cameron.
From Anonymous, I asked him if I could put this on the show, and he said, yeah, but don't use my name. And I was like, okay, Bill.
Anonymous.
Crap.
Anonymous doesn't like to tell their name.
No, they don't. They like, they also do, what is it called? Unmentionable prayer requests. What do you say? Unspoken.
Oh,
I have an unspoken prayer request. I'm like, no, you don't.
I'm anonymous.
I didn't come to this prayer meeting to be teased by the likes of you. Tell me what your dirty secret is, you dirty lady. So anyway, I don't know. I always imagine it's something terrible that they just can't let it out.
I buried my husband in the basement of my house.
Exactly.
And I want to pray for forgiveness because he's a jerk.
No, I just want to pray for good air. I just want clean air. I want him to decompose like a mummy so I can
leave his body alive. He's still alive. He's still alive down there. I feed him every night.
Okay.
But he's buried up to his neck. Until he accepts Jesus, he's staying down there.
That's the unspoken request.
That's the unspoken. Thank you, man. That's everything I ever wanted it to be and more. That actually was therapeutic. Anyway, Anonymous says, hey, James, I just wanted to say that I love the show, and I've listened to all the episodes 3 times. Goodness gracious. Whoa. I've added up the amount of time that I've listened to it, and it added up to 4,391,280 seconds, 73,188 minutes, 1,219.8 hours, and 50.82 days. So 51 days, basically. That's crazy. Yeah. I loved every single millisecond. He says, thank you so much for what you do. God, prayer, and you guys are the only reason I got through when my dad got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's been a year, and he is fully recovered now. Love you guys in the most masculine way possible. Anonymous. Aw, that's sweet.
Whoa. That's awesome, and hallelujah for that full recovery.
Yeah, yeah, very good. We love it when God does good things.
You know? Yeah, and that we get to be a part of it. Actually, we weren't part of it because we didn't do any of the prayer.
But we were blamed for part of the solution. Like he got through it.
Getting them through.
Because of
Anonymous,
us.
Getting Anonymous through.
So anyway, we got a couple of announcements. Always wanting to let you know about our new phone number. Call toll-free 833-55-STORY, 833-557-8679. It's a new way for you to send in stuff, and we love it if you use it, so please do. 833-55-STORY, call us now. And we also need intros. You know the little things that we play? Like
Hi,
this?
I'm James. And hi, I'm James. No, I'm James.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there, but he was obviously James, and he was talking to himself and stuff like that. So if he could do it, you can do it. So email us intros. All you do is record them on your phone, or you can call them in to the toll-free number that I just mentioned, and you can email them to james@nlcast.com, james@nlcast.com, and we will get them and use them, and we're out. We need more. So send as many as you want. Just use one per email. That would help me out a lot. Don't send like 10 in one email. If you're going to make 10, send 10 emails. It would be great. All right. Anyway, this is time for listener stories. Is there anybody going to listen to my story? All right. This segment is brought to you by our sponsors.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right. This is a story from Brian Carroll from Rossville, Georgia. And it is called
I think I know him.
My running buddy. Do you think you know him?
I think I do. I think this might be the Brian Carroll that used to go to school here.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm in the process of training for a marathon in November. As my training run gets longer, I'm having to start them earlier in the morning. Since the summer is dwindling down, most of my runs are in the dark. So I recently acquired a new running light. It's an LED strip on a belt with an adjustable high beam high in the center. And it makes these dark morning runs much safer and allows me to see pretty far in front of me, except for when things are camouflaged a bit. Foreboding. This morning, I went to the park where I normally run, and I got my light belt situated and started on a 6 mile training run. Within the first quarter mile, I realized I didn't love the angle of the center light, so I started to adjust it. However, as I was looking down at the light, there was something running down the road in front of me. So he's running. He's adjusting his light. He's not really paying attention where he's running, but he sees something. I looked up and saw something black in front of me. There was one single eye pointed in my direction. I looked closer. There was a very bushy black tail extending up from that single squinty eyeball. Then it dawned on me, that wasn't an eyeball. I was looking at the south end of a northbound skunk.
Oh, no. It wasn't an eyeball.
It was running in the same direction I was running, which meant that it had its business end pointed right at me. I was literally
that's dangerous. That
I was literally chasing a skunk down the road in the dark. So, needless to say, I put the brakes on and started backpedaling as fast as I could. I think I ran faster backwards than I do forwards. And thankfully, I escaped the encounter without experiencing the skunk's odoriferous fury. But I definitely kept my eyes on the road the rest of the morning to make sure I didn't have any other running buddies that I needed to avoid. Mm. Thanks for all you guys do, Brian Carroll from Rossville, Georgia.
Excellent Thanks, Brian. Story. If I know you in real life, it was great. If I don't, go Georgia.
Go Georgia.
Go Dogs, I guess. I don't know.
Go Dogs.
Well, you know, in Georgia, everybody cheers for some team, yeah. Georgia team.
Yeah. I was a big Georgia Bulldogs fan when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
I never watched a single game. I just liked the Bulldog. And I would
you
draw
just like
him.
The logo, right?
Yeah, Ugga, I guess his name is, right?
Ugga, yeah, that's right. That's what they call the dog.
Yeah. So I was a big fan of the dog, and so I had a stool, I had a jacket, I had a t-shirt, I had a hat, you know, I had stuff, and I wanted more. I wanted to paint my room with
really?
Georgia Bulldogs colors, and my parents
black and red?
Wouldn't have it. They didn't let me start decorating my own room until I was in high school. And by then, it was Ninja Turtles and it was Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I remember that Spider-Man you had painted on your wall. That was cool.
That was pretty cool. I ripped it right off of McFarlane. Yeah. Jeff McFarlane. Wow. So
he didn't know, and I'm sure he didn't mind. He would have been honored.
Yeah. All right. So Maureen has a story for us.
Oh, she does. She does have a doozy of a story. This is about scarring sisters.
This story is so twisted and wonderful.
It's so twisted.
So
it is.
Twisted.
But she says it's a silly sister story.
Oh, no, it's scarring.
I have a silly sister story, she says. I feel like this is starting off to be like a Dr. Seuss, but it's not. It's so much not. When I was younger, much younger, my sister and I didn't have a lot of toys to play with, and we were stuck at home, so we made up our own games.
Can I just play this real quick?
We played our own games.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know. That's that. If we had like some kind of scary music in the background, yeah. Something. Do you have any of that?
No,
probably not. This is a family show. We don't have scary music. Well, one of our terrible games was a game called "quote unquote" Make You Cry.
See, that's what I'm saying.
One of our terrible games was a make you cry game. That's what she says. We sat across from each other and looked deep into each other's eyes and took turns insulting each other until the older sister started to cry.
So terrible.
Maureen, why? Oh, but this doesn't stop there. For example, we'd say things like, "You're so ugly and stupid." Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
I wish she would have expounded more and maybe relived that moment where she I don't know how I could never play that game.
No, John, you never could. You couldn't. I could. Mm. I would be good at that game.
You want to try playing it? I can't even try it. I can't even imagine saying something mean about you, James.
Well, thanks, man.
You're a guy that plays video games and likes Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, you showed me.
Are you crying yet?
Yeah, I am.
Oh,
you're so ugly and stupid. I just can't imagine the things that they had to say to make each other cry.
Yeah, they're just sitting there right across from each other. You're so ugly and stupid. Well, this is how the game would go. You know, they'd say stuff like that, and the crier would wipe their tears. That's how you lost?
Yeah, yeah. And, whoever cries first loses.
And the insulter would say, "Sorry." the crier would take a turn and give it their best shot.
So twisted. This is such a girl thing, man. I hate to say girl thing, but like a boy thing would be to punch each other until ouchies or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'd bounce a ball at each other and try to hit each other in strategic locations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, Maureen agrees with you. She says, "I'm sure there's a psychological reason we played this torture game. All I can say is girl drama is so real. We make it up just so we can have something to do."
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I hope you find this story funny, even though it's a little disturbing. Take care, Maureen.
Maureen, yeah, y'all got more to talk about. Y'all need to get together and undo what you done when you was kids.
I'm guessing that Maureen and her sister are probably Gen X kids.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But you know how we these Gen X generations that we grew up in, we were so tough.
Yeah.
And we
didn't have iPads.
Raised ourselves a little bit. We didn't have Minecraft. Is that what you said?
No, we didn't have iPads. We didn't have our heads stuck in a device.
Right, you know? Right. And our games were like this. You're ugly and stupid.
Ugly and stupid. It's so
Or the refrigerator game.
So messed up.
Where we make disgusting things and try and feed each other, and whoever threw up was.
We called those Yucky Delights.
Yucky Delights.
Yeah, we're going to make some Yucky Delights.
Mm.
What is this? Don't ask. Just drink it. Just drink it real quick. Just probably should drink it fast. You. So
yeah, drink it real fast.
Anyway, I got another.
Won't even taste it.
Got another story called "Confusing Cousins" by Mallory. She says, "I went on a Caribbean cruise with about 17 of my cousins." Good Lord.
Wow.
How rich are they?
They took up the whole boat.
That's like half of them, by the way. Anyway.
Oh.
Are you a rabbit, Mallory? Are you a human? Or are you a rabbit? Anyway, me and my best friend Rachel were sitting in the hot tub talking when these adults said, "Hey, are you guys twins?" And I said, "No, but we're double cousins. And that's why we look a lot alike." And the woman said, "What's that?" And Rachel blurted, "It's where sisters marry brothers." And they tried to be nice, but the man muttered to the woman under his breath, "Isn't that like illegal?" And after that, Rachel started to cry laugh because we realized how horrible we explained it. Okay, so now I know you guys are really confused, so allow me to explain double cousins. It's not illegal. it's where one set of sisters marry a different set of brothers. So I hope this makes it on the show.
Okay, so they're not related.
Right. It would be like if me and my brother married two of your sisters.
Right, okay.
And then our kids would then would look more like their cousins of each other.
That makes sense.
It still seems wrong and something that should be on the Learning Channel, but double cousins. I didn't even know that was a thing. Maybe it's a Georgia thing.
The more you know.
I bet it happens more in Georgia than anywhere else.
Double cousins. Hey, we're double cousins. My brother is actually my uncle and my dad. Wait.
Oh.
I don't know what
that means. I love you, John. You know that, right? That's why I always save the slip and fall, break bone stories for you.
All right. I'm gonna get my mind in the right place here because this is one of those, apparently.
Yes.
Thank you. This comes to us from Dylan Champlin from Amite, Louisiana. This is a sonic slip, James. You ready for a sonic slip?
Yep.
It all started one summer day in late July, 2022. That was this last month, right?
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Okay. We're not. Yeah. Well, 2022. I was working at my local Sonic as a car hop. One of the amazing benefits of being a car hop at Sonic is that I get to keep 100% of the tips that I collect throughout the day.
It's nice. That's the way it should be.
That's pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, I think that. I mean, you carried it. You should get. I didn't know that you tipped the people. That I feel terrible now because I've never tipped a person at Sonic.
On occasion, I've tipped. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, John, you're a terrible person.
I am a bad person. I just thought it was like, you know, I don't tip the person at Chick-fil-A when they bring me my chicken.
No, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Should I?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
But the Sonic people get tips.
They enjoy them, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, now I know.
I don't think it's required, but obviously, you know, it's a good thing to do.
And well, good I'm never people, going to Sonic again.
Good people like me do it occasionally for fast service, you know. But when it's crap service, which is most of the time, I don't tip.
When they throw your food at you through the window.
All I do is order giant Route 44.
Route 44, 44 ounce drink.
Love those things.
Got to hold that baby with two hands.
Diet Coke with cherry, dude.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
I'm a cherry limeade kind of guy. And that crushed ice, delicious. Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyways. Dylan says, it was brought to my attention that if I started wearing skates while delivering orders, I could get a dollar raise.
Dude, I'd be in skates.
I would. Yep. I'm all about efficiency and a dollar raise. So before I go any further, let me make it clear that I've been skating for about 3 years. So I am not a complete newbie to the sport.
Oh, I've been skating since I was like five. So whatever.
I know, man. We used to go to the skating rink.
Yeah. The roller rink, as I used to call it.
Roller rink. That's right. Yes. And that's where I learned how to skate and
get in front of girls. About. Yeah.
In front of girls.
That's the
worst.
You had to learn in front of girls.
After much thought, I finally decided to bring my skates to work to not only get my raise, but to also show off to all my non-skating workers that I know what to do.
I'm getting that money.
I walked into work with my skate bag and was bragging to everyone about my skills and talents. I put the skates on, laced them up, and grabbed the first order for the day. As I rolled outside with a tray of drinks, I failed to notice some spilled substance on the concrete ahead of me. Well, for those that aren't aware, wet, slippery substances and skates do not mingle very well.
No.
I was right next to the customer's vehicle when all of a sudden my feet slipped out from underneath me and the drinks went everywhere. To help stop my fall, I thrust my right arm out instinctively. I came down reasonably hard and heard a slight pop, but I didn't think much of it.
Nah, don't.
I forgot this was a pain story.
Yeah, it's a pain story.
Okay.
A little bit.
I didn't think much of it.
A little bit of pain.
Yeah, a little bit of pain.
Don't worry about it. Just get back up and go to work, go skating.
Yeah, and I just assumed it wasn't anything major. Well, as I continued working throughout the night, I realized that my wrist looked a little crooked and hadn't stopped throbbing.
Does this look broken to you? And it's like a Z shape, you know?
It's a little crooked.
It's all purple.
I went to the hospital and I found that I had indeed fractured one of the growth plates in my wrist. Oh.
In his wrist.
I wonder if Dylan knows anything about workman's comp.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because, well, maybe he does, because now Sonic says I'm not allowed to skate anymore until I'm 18. I hope it makes it on the show. Oh, Dylan, I hope that your arm is healed. And if I'm ever in Amite, Louisiana, I'll be sure to visit
your Sonic. But he's not tipping. He's a cheap son of a gun.
No, I will. I was going to say I will tip on purpose.
Yeah.
Well, I'll ask for Dylan.
Believe it when we see it.
All y'all in Amite, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but all y'all in Amite, Louisiana, I'm going to say it wrong again. Go visit Dylan at Sonic and give him a good tip.
Make him famous. Make him famous.
Make him famous. I heard you on that story show.
Yeah, there's a Sonic near my, just my stomping grounds that says that they are hiring people with skates that can skate.
Really?
Yeah, and it is pretty impressive, people that can do it. I say I would throw on skates and go skating around, but Chick-fil-A would not be the place for that. I have to wear non-slip shoes, you know, because we're working with fries and fried foods and things like that.
Yep.
And Greased. And there is a slickness going on backstage, and yeah, you wouldn't want to be on daggum roller skates. You'd end up face first in a fryer, and that's the truth. This is called The Wrong Walker, and it's hilarious, and it's from Laura Hollingsworth from Colfax, California. So my aunt has had health woes, but thankfully, it looks like she's on the mend. Yesterday, her son was supposed to get a walker for her from his extended family, and they kept messaging and asking what happened because he never came and picked it up. But he's like, I did pick it up, and my mom has it. Upon closer inspection, it was discovered that he'd been given the incorrect address and he'd gone to the wrong house. Somehow still ended up with a walker. When an elderly lady answered the door, he just said, hey, I'm here to pick up the walker for my mom. And she says, well, I have one. And she just gave him the walker. No questions. As if it was the most natural thing in the world for a random person to come over to her home expecting stuff. So never underestimate the generosity of a random elderly woman. She probably gave hers.
Well, I have one. I was going to use it later, but I suppose
stand by the door for the rest of the day now.
There's an old lady waiting by the door waiting for a walker to come back home.
It's terrible. It's terrible. All right. So now we have a Chick-fil-A story, believe it or not. It's a voicemail, and it's called My Pleasure. So here we go.
Hey, James and John. Jared from Anaheim calling with a story for That Story Show. I'm in the drive-thru for Chick-fil-A, and to avoid hearing My Pleasure, I just don't say thank you. I say things like awesome, great, whatever. I just told the lady who confirmed my order, I said awesome, and then I didn't say anything, and she said thank you, and so I said My Pleasure back at her. Turn on the table. Thanks.
That's great. You can also throw money at us. We don't care. You don't have to say thank you. You just throw money. So
good.
Oh, man.
My pleasure. He said my pleasure.
He got it back. He got it back. You know, we don't have to say it in the back room, in the back.
No.
Some people do. And I think it's because they work up front sometimes and sometimes in the back, and it's just best for them to go ahead and go. But when somebody says thank you to me, I'm just like, no problem. Or yeah. Yeah, of course. You know, naturally.
You should change it up and say, it's my joy.
It's my absolute privilege and joy. I love doing things for you. I anticipate.
It's my shoe. Needs.
So.
Or no, you say, it's my pressure.
I like adding the word poo onto words and trying to make them into jokes. So.
What?
Like you did
that.
Earlier
do that
today.
Right now.
With poo calculus.
Oh, it's
the worst. So I'll just say it's my
You're making fun of me.
So I'll just say it's my poo pleasure.
You suck.
I do. And you're ugly.
Oh.
I want to make you cry. I want to make you cry so bad. So, anyway, that is the show, guys and gals. Surely you have a funny life story. Maybe you thought of one just now. Whatever your story is, call us toll free, 833-55-STORY, or email thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Review the show on iTunes or wherever you found us. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you later. John's ugly!
Oh, isn't that true? We're going to get tears.
I'm gonna make you cry, yeah.
You're a butt face.
Oh, wow, that hurt.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Never been called such a terrible thing. I don't even think we can rate the show G-rated anymore. They rated E for everyone except for people who can't stand the word butt.
I meant with one T.
Oh.
You're a butt face.
But okay, so you would be good looking, but you're a butt face.
Yeah. Don't try to get away with that anywhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for doing the show, John. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Thanks to all our patrons, and thank you for our listeners. And tune in every week. And join us live Thursdays, 5 p.m. Central. See ya.